This evening, Lord willing, I'm going to be attempting to bring a message on humility out of Acts chapter 20, where Paul said, serving the Lord with all humility. If you would have looked 3,000 years ago at one who was called a Jew or a Hebrew and an Amalekite and a Jebusite and a Philistine and any of the other different kinds of people in that region, you would not really have seen a physical difference between them. You wouldn't have said, well, that looks like a Jew and that looks like an Amalekite. There was not some kind of distinction that distinguished one from the other. They pretty much looked the same. But what was the distinction between the Jew and everybody else? Circumcision. That was the difference. Now, if there's anybody here that doesn't know what circumcision means, ask your parents after the service when you're driving home. Circumcision. That was the difference between the Jew and everybody else. Circumcision. Now, if you had never heard of circumcision, and you heard about it, you would think, wow, that's strange. That's painful. Why would anybody do that? You know, I think it is amazing that circumcision is used to prove infant baptism. They say infant baptism has taken the place of circumcision. Well, the Bible never says that. That's just plumb dumb. That's all I know how to describe that. That's just plumb dumb. If you baptize a baby, you think that has something to do with their salvation. You say, no, I don't. You wouldn't do it if you didn't. This, you have to do some amazing mental gymnastics to come up with infant baptism from this. But it did take place, circumcision. That's the mark of the true Jew, and this is how important it was. Turn with me for a moment to Exodus chapter 4. Verse 24. Now this is after God had already commissioned Moses to go to Egypt. He'd already appeared to him in the burning bush. But look what happens here in verse 24. And came to pass by the way in the inn. This is when Moses was on his way to Egypt. And it came to pass by the way in the inn that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. The Lord was going to kill Moses. Then Zipporah, that's his wife, took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son at circumcision and cast it at his feet, saying, surely you're a bloody husband, art thou to me? So God let him go, Moses. Moses was evidently so ill, he couldn't perform this rite. The woman had to do it, his wife. So he let him go. Then she said, a bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision. Now evidently he didn't circumcise his son to keep his wife happy, and the Lord's going to kill him for it. And she saw that. So we see the importance of this thing of circumcision. The true mark of the Jew is circumcision. I've entitled this message, The True Jew. The True Jew. Jew. Now, there are three circumcisions spoken of in the scripture. Number one, what we just read about, physical circumcision. Do you know the Lord Jesus was physically circumcised on the eighth day of his physical life? It was the distinction between the Jew and everybody else. Physical circumcision. And then we also read in Colossians 2:11 of the circumcision of Christ. Now listen to the scripture very carefully. In physical circumcision, before I read it, remember, in physical circumcision, there is something cut off and removed. Now, when Christ was crucified, bearing the sins of the elect, it was called the circumcision made without hands. Now listen to this scripture in Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. The circumcision made without hands in the putting off of the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now when he was crucified on Calvary's tree, it was called the circumcision of Christ. Just like in physical circumcision, something was cut off and done away with. In spiritual circumcision, the sins of God's people were cut off and done away with, and they are no more. It's called the circumcision of Christ. And then there is the circumcision of the heart. God said in Deuteronomy 10:16, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked, obstinate, unrepentant is what the word means. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6, the Lord God will circumcise thy heart. You see, this is a circumcision that can't be made with hands. The Lord God will circumcise thy heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord God with all thy heart and all thy soul. Now we see from these two scriptures that a circumcised heart is a repentant heart that loves God. This is what all of God's people have. A repentant heart that loves God as He is. An uncircumcised heart is an unrepentant heart that has no love for God. Now, the physical mark of the true Jew was not some kind of caricature that we create saying, well, the Jews look like this and we'll make physical. No, no. The physical mark of a true Jew was circumcision. That's what separated him from everyone else. And the mark of the true Jew, the spiritual Jew, is circumcision as well. A circumcised heart. Now, the physical Jew took pride in their circumcision. Remember what Paul said? Circumcised the eighth day of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was proud of that. He thought it counted for something. I had the proper day, the proper mode of circumcision. I was circumcised the eighth day. And you know, the Gentile world was known as the uncircumcised. And this was a way of speaking of them with contempt. Do you remember what David said with regard to Goliath? He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would defy the armies of the living God? The ultimate name of contempt from the physical Jew to the non-Jew is their uncircumcised. In the New Testament, circumcision is used as a synonym for salvation by works. Do you remember when the Judaizers came in Acts chapter 15, verse 6, and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. It represents any form of salvation by works. Except you be circumcised. Yes, you need to believe, but there's something else you need. Anytime there's something else you need other than Christ only, it can be represented by this thing of circumcision. And I love what Paul said in Galatians chapter 5. He said, if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. If you go that road of thinking salvation is in any way, to any degree, dependent upon what you do, forget Christ. He will profit you nothing. You're on your own. You stand before God in your own works, and that's a place you do not want to be. Let me repeat that. That's something me and you do not want, is to stand before God on the footing of anything in us. Now, in Romans chapter 1 and the first part of Romans chapter 2, Paul spoke of the uncircumcised Gentile world. Would you turn with me to Romans chapter 1? Now, this is people without a Bible that he is describing. People who have no revelation from God. They don't have Scripture. These people are uncircumcised. These are the heathen. Beginning in verse 18 of Romans chapter 1, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth," or hold down the truth, "in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Even though they don't have a revelation from God, there's enough light from the creation that leaves them without excuse. They can see that God made all this, and nobody made him, his eternal power and Godhead. Verse 21, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise." And this is talking about the Greek philosophers. "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, the Gentile world, the uncircumcised world, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." What do you think about people like that? They're bad people, aren't they? They're wicked people. There's nothing good you can say about them. Now look what Paul says next. "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For when thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things." You're seeing the moral reprobacy of these people, the moral bankruptcy, the wickedness. You say, "That's wrong." Yeah, it is. And you're guilty of doing the exact same thing. Not you used to, right now. That word "doest" is in the present active voice. You stand in judgment on anybody for anything, and all you do is condemn yourself because you're doing the same stuff. It's remarkable hypocrisy. So we see the uncircumcised world, how bad they were. And if we judge them in the sense of moral superiority, all we do is expose ourselves. Look in verse 17 of chapter 2. Now he speaks of the circumcised. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest both thy boast of God, and knowest his will. And you approve the things which are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. You're confident that you yourself are a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth of the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it's written, for circumcision. You're circumcised. Unlike these people in Romans chapter 1. For circumcision verily profits if you keep the law. That's what's needed. It's beneficial to you if you keep the law. Anybody done that? No. None of Adam's sons. Circumcision verily profits if you keep the law, but if you're a breaker of the law, your circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, people who are Gentiles who are never circumcised, and this is hypothetical, none of them ever done it, but if they did. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? Yeah, if he keeps the law. And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? Now look at this statement. Verse 28. Remember, I've entitled this message, The True Jew. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Somebody that can trace their lineage all the way to Abraham. That's not a Jew. That's not a Jew. He is not a Jew which was one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. Someone who has gone through the rite of circumcision, circumcised the eighth day according to the law. He says, that's not circumcision. But he is a Jew, verse 29, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Now, the man or woman who claims to be a physical Jew because of their ancestry, and they could do their line all the way back to Abraham and prove it, that's not a Jew in the first place. You see, God doesn't have two programs, one for the Jews and one for the Christians. That foolishness is preached in many places. You know, you've got one program for the Jews and one for the Christians. No, that's not so. It's not scriptural. He is a Jew. Now, the word Hebrew, I love this. The word Hebrew means one from beyond. The true Jew traces his lineage from beyond. They are of God. Now that's where I trace my lineage if I'm a true Jew. He that's of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. The Lord said concerning his people in John chapter 17, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. He is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. Verse 29, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And the circumcision is that of the heart. Their heart has been circumcised. Now that's the same thing as the new birth. That's the same thing as regeneration. That's the same thing as being born again. A circumcised heart. A new heart. One that was not there before. Now, hold your finger in Romans chapter 3. And I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 8. We're coming right back to Romans 3, but I want you to see this in Hebrews chapter 8. This is so important. Verse 10. For this is a quotation from Jeremiah 31. For this is the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws, plural, into their mind and write them in their hearts. Now, when God says, I'll put my laws into their mind and write them into their heart, let me tell you right now, that's not talking about the Ten Commandments. You were born with the Ten Commandments written in your heart. You were born knowing lying is sin. Murder is sin. You were born with some understanding of sexual sin, that it's wrong. You were born knowing you ought not cheat, you ought not steal. You were born knowing you ought not covet. That's why it always just irritates me when people say, we need to teach people how to live. You already know how to live. You do. You don't need me to teach you. We're born into this world with God's law written in our hearts, and Romans 2:16 says that. So it's not talking about knowing the law. Now, God's laws written in the heart. This is what somebody that's been spiritually circumcised looks like. This is what they're like. This is the way they think. We read in Romans chapter 9 of the law of righteousness. Romans 9:30. Anybody with a circumcised heart cannot be satisfied with anything short of an absolute perfect righteousness before God, and they know the only righteousness there is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And they look to His righteousness only. Always. Do you have a circumcised heart? Is the righteousness of Jesus Christ the only righteousness you have? Come on now. Is His righteousness the only righteousness you possess? We also read in Romans chapter 7, verse 23, of the law of sin. Remember, God said, I'm going to write my laws in their hearts. He writes that law of righteousness. He writes the law of sin. If you have the law of sin written in your heart, you know that if you did it, it's sin. Whatever you do, doesn't matter what it is. If you did it, it's sin. Somebody says, now, I'm not going to say that about myself. Well, you don't have God's law written in your hearts then. Because if you did, you know it was. The law of sin. I cannot not sin. It's always there. And if God's written in your heart, you know that's so. And then we read in Romans 3:27 of the law of faith. Do you know that if you have a circumcised heart, you cannot not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? You cannot not believe that all you need, all you have, and all you want is Him. And you rest in Him only. You cannot not do that. Now, your flesh never believes. I believe, help out my unbelief. The flesh never believes. The Spirit always believes. It's the law of faith. This is what a circumcised heart looks like. And then we read in James 2:8 of the law of love. You love God as is revealed in the Word. You love all of His attributes. You love Him. It's your nature. It's your nature. It's the law of God written in your heart. And then we read of the law of liberty. James 2:28. The law of liberty. If you have a circumcised heart, you can't handle being in bondage. You can't handle being in debt. The only thing that satisfies you is complete debt-free, paid by Christ. You owe nothing, and you're free to serve Him. You're doing it because you want to, not because you're afraid of what will happen if you don't, because you want to. That's the law of liberty. And then there's the law of Christ spoken of in Galatians chapter 6. If any man be overtaken in a fault, you at your spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, these laws are written in the heart of every one with a circumcised heart. And this is the mark of the true Jew, the circumcised heart. It's not a physical thing. It's spiritual. Now, turn back to Romans 2, verse 29. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter. Now this is so important. What is the spirit of the law? Work. You need to do this. You need to do that. You need to quit doing this. You need to start doing that. You need to work. That's the spirit of the law. And doesn't the law say thou shalt and thou shalt not? That's the spirit. Or that's the letter. I'm sorry, I'm getting this wrong. That's the letter of the law. Sorry for saying the spirit. That's the letter of the law. Salvation by works. The spirit of the law is, you can't keep this. Your only hope is Christ. The spirit of the law is faith in Christ. The letter of the law is works. And it is the letter of the law. The spirit of the law is grace. Christ. And look what it says next. Whose praise is not of men. Do you know no natural man is going to praise what I'm saying? They're going to say, that's weird. That's crazy. That's foolishness. I don't believe that. I don't expect you to. I really don't. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness in him. Neither indeed can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. You've got to have the Holy Spirit to praise this. Now, God praises this. Let me tell you why God praises it. It's His work. You see this thing of having a circumcised heart? You didn't have anything to do with that. That's God's work and God's work alone. He praises this because it glorifies Him. He praises this because it actually honors His law. Do we make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law. God praises this. Now, Physical circumcision was the token of the physical covenant, and no one was saved by physical circumcision. Spiritual circumcision is the token of the spiritual covenant, and everybody that's spiritually circumcised is saved. Now, I would like us to go to Philippians chapter 3 for just a moment. Philippians chapter 3. Who is the true Jew? Philippians chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Now, to write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, it's not irksome, but for you it is safe. I hope that if you come here and go a year without, I hope you don't, but if you'd come back here a year later and you'd say, God's saying the same thing. He's saying the same thing. I mean, doesn't he have anything else to say? Nope. Nope. You got it. You got it. I'm not really interested in anything else. I'm not. Then he says in verse 2, beware of dogs. Speaking of false prophets. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Now, this is a word Paul makes to describe folks who physically circumcise people and say, you need to be circumcised. He said, here's what they are. They're the mutilators. That's all they are. They're the concision. They're mutilators. There's no truth to them. 4, verse 3. We are the circumcision. We are the true Jews. Here is the Hebrew. We are the circumcision, and he gives 3 marks of circumcision. We worship God in the Spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. Now, we are the true Jews, number one, which worship God in the Spirit. Now, some people will say, well, I worship God in a more spiritual manner. I don't need to be in a big cathedral with the organs and the choirs. I'm more satisfied with more spiritual worship in a real plain building without all these accessories. You missed it. No. That's not what that's talking about. When we worship God in the Spirit, that means we worship God only in the Holy Spirit. It is impossible for the natural man to worship God. We worship God. Now, what does it mean to worship God? I said this in Sunday school. You will only worship a God that you cannot control or manipulate in any way. You're in His hand. He does with you whatever He's pleased to do, and whatever He does is right. Now, you'll worship that God. You won't worship a God that you can manipulate and control and get to react to what you want Him to do and get to respond. Nobody's going to worship a God like that. You're His God. You don't worship that way. But the only true worship is worshiping in the Holy Spirit of God. And I've said this before. I don't say, come worship with us to unbelievers. I don't say that. I mean, I hope they do. I hope God enables them to, but I can't enable an unbeliever to worship. The only way you can worship is if God births you into His kingdom. And then you worship God. We are the true Jew, which worship God in the Spirit. And here's what everybody does who worships God in the Spirit. They rejoice in Christ Jesus. Now see the word rejoice in Philippians 3:1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. That's a different word than the word in verse 3, rejoice in Christ Jesus. The word rejoice in Christ Jesus is literally you glory in Christ Jesus. You boast in Christ Jesus. You rest in Christ Jesus. Look back a few pages to Galatians chapter 6. Here's what this means. Galatians, the 6th chapter, beginning of verse 12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh. Now that is a pretty good description of your average religious service, isn't it? A fair show in the flesh. They constrain you to be circumcised. They say you need to be circumcised. And here's the only reason they do it. Only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. That's their motive. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law. They say, you need to be circumcised to keep the law. You don't keep the law. Not in any way. They desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. Look how I've influenced that person for good. I've made a difference in that person. I've done something. But look what Paul says. And here's the way he uses this word. But God forbid that I should glory. There's the word. Have confidence in. Rest in. Rejoice in. Boast in. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. All I glory in is who he is and what he did. What he accomplished on Calvary's tree. Oh, what about the fact that you're a preacher? I'm ashamed of myself. What about the fact that you pray? I wouldn't want to bring anything into his presence and say, Lord, I did this, I did that. No, no. I simply want to be found in Christ. Where all God sees is Jesus Christ. Now, you know what somebody who glories only in the cross does? Look back in Philippians 3. We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. Now, there is an and. And have no confidence. Nada. Zilch. Zero. No confidence in the flesh. Anything that has anything to do with my flesh, I have no confidence in. None at all. Now, anybody who glories in Christ Jesus will have no confidence in the flesh. The true Jew is not the physical descendant of Abraham, nor is circumcision that outward circumcision that's in the flesh. The true Jew is the one with a circumcised heart. In the spirit and not in the letter. God praises this true Jew. And here's what the truly circumcised person looks like. He worships God in the spirit. He rejoices in Christ Jesus. And he has no confidence in the flesh. If that's what a Jew is, I'm a Jew. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you that salvation is of the Lord. Lord, In Christ's name, we ask that you would, because of the work of thy Son on the cross, we plead no other reason for you to do this, but we ask in his name that you would perform this circumcision made without hands on the heart of everybody here and teach us what it means to worship you, to rejoice in the Spirit, to rejoice only in your Son, and to have no confidence in the flesh. Oh Lord, we ask that our hearts might be circumcised for Christ's sake. We ask that we might be enabled to be true Jews. In Christ's name we pray.